Hey guys, welcome back to the Greenside Podcast, where we talk about our perspectives from the sidelines.
Woo!
Woo! What up, y'all?
What's up?
It's been a minute.
Yeah. So today we're going to be talking about Chelsea's episode.
Yes.
Hopefully everyone did their homework, listened, enjoyed, you know, really soaked it all up.
It was a great one. It was a great one. I know I say it about all the episodes, but really, like, I had a wonderful time.
Yeah, you and Chelsea definitely hit it off. Yeah. Y'all are now best friends. Chelsea, if you're hearing this.
Yeah. We talk all the time.
Yeah.
No, we don't.
Okay.
No, but she was really sweet. And I think when I was like watching the show, I was like, oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I will totally get along with her 100%.
Mm-hmm.
It just worked out.
Yeah.
And I think I was really, really excited that she was willing to do it. And she was great. And I think when you're on a show, when you're like on NBC, like you meet famous people or something happens. I don't know. But well, maybe she just naturally has it. But she's just really good at talking in front of the camera. And even if you take like her Domestika course, like it just comes so naturally. And she was just a natural talking to her. I think, too, like having both being like feeling, you know, what's that word?
Connected. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, okay, I get you. Cool.
Yeah. You could definitely tell that you guys have a similar vibe.
Yeah.
And even when I was watching the show, because I saw it after the episode, I was like, I see it.
Yeah,
I get
right?
it. I get what this is all about now.
Well, I think too, like if you've seen the show making it, I think it really speaks to certain people.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were talking about before this episode, like there's just something about like a niche market that like there's going to be dedicated people that they get it and they jump on board for it. So I think I've referred her or this show to people that I know who are like very crafty and they absolutely love it. I think anyone honestly would love it. But for some reason, people who just are crafty have found the show.
Yeah. I mean, there's always something for everyone, you know, like
exactly.
Even if it's the weirdest, most like bizarre, not that this is bizarre, but there's always one person who's like, oh my God, wait, you like that too?
Yeah.
And then they just become like best friends. And it's just like, wow, over that weird thing that you just happen to know about.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that show is a great example of like, and I think like that's happening with a bunch of other shows too, like we were even talking about what shows that we like that are like very niche, and I was talking about one on Netflix called Blown Away. Casey, which one were you talking about again? What was it called?
The Great Pottery Throwdown.
Oh yeah, I have to watch that.
Hey Casey, we didn't know you were here.
I snuck in. That's like a ceramic based show. It's so good to see people like really master a craft.
Yeah.
Because even us, like, we have, like, zero idea or, you know, with any craft, if we don't know anything about it, like, how far you can take it with the ceramics. Like, I thought they were going to be making little bowls and cups.
Yeah.
But it's 5 seasons of people making really amazing stuff, like sculptures with this medium.
So. Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, with Blown Away, it's the same. Like, they're not making vases or vases. I don't know what the right way to say this. But they're not making these like everyday. They are making everyday things and obviously like taking it another level. But then you'll find like they make these crazy art sculptures that are you would never see, you know, anywhere on like when you're walking down the street or something. Like this stuff is like just art.
Right.
You know, and they find a way to make really cool stuff with it. And I'm not into glass blowing, but I'm like, dang, I think I could do it.
Just like, I don't remember where I was, but it was some historical town and they were doing like historical things.
Yeah.
And this guy was glass blowing and I was mesmerized.
Yeah.
Like it's just amazing. Watching it grow and like watching them literally blow into it, make it a balloon.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is glass, guys. Do y'all get that?
Yeah.
Like, it's so crazy. And they like, you know, they mold it in such a way. It's so malleable.
Yeah.
And then it turns into such a hard thing. Like that concept alone
delicate.
Is like incredible.
It's like so delicate. Ugh. You can add different colors, like different methods, different ways of doing things.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's the same with like ceramics too. Like
they're
just, people just, I don't know, they hack it a certain way that you just didn't think that glass could do that or that ceramics could do that or, you know, and then you were talking about another one too. What was it called again?
I don't remember what it's called. I think it's actually, no, it's called Skin Wars.
That's right. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's so cool. It's like body painting. Yeah. So they have like competitions. It's a reality competition show, but they all paint naked people to look like something else. So it's just like, I mean, it sounds really simple, but it gets so crazy. And like sometimes it's like five people like all like acrobatically intertwined with each other, and then they turn that person or those people into like one giant frog, and like they move like a frog, they act like a frog. It's crazy. It's so good.
That's insane.
There's another show that's like all about makeup. It's just every art form like just gets wild.
It totally does. And these people get the opportunity to take their art to the next level. I think that is something that I've seen with like some contestants, or even like I'm blown away. Like they get so used to doing the same type of artwork many years, and then they're like, oh crap, like I have to really bend some stuff here to like actually make it different, and they try different things, and that is like so good for you as an artist, you know. I'm sure Casey is like a practicing artist. She's just all the time. But it's nice. Cool.
I was gonna say that I think that something that, you know, the artists themselves will benefit from going on these shows, you know, getting pushed past their limit, past what they thought their limit was. But it's like mutually beneficial, because us as like the viewers, it's such a beautiful thing to watch someone just like be creative, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's like when they master their craft or in that process of mastering it. It's a really beautiful process to watch. You know? Yeah. It's inspirational. It makes you want to blow glass, or like I wanted to do ceramics before, and I was like, I kind of want to try it now. And now I'm thinking about body painting. I'm like, it's, you got to be a painter, you know. But now you're working with like a very intricate canvas
that it curves moves a certain way, you know?
So I think that's why these shows, like making it too, like it's just really nice to watch people, you know, make it.
Seriously.
That's true.
That's honestly what it is at the end of the day. And it's, you would never think, even with crafting, like who would have thought? I thought like crafting was, you go to Hobby Lobby or Michael's or Joann's or whatever, you buy your crafting stuff when you feel like, you know, making something for a friend or an album or something. But I don't know why. I just kind of felt like so close-minded in that sense. When I watched that show, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know you could, this goes into all different sorts of things, like building, design, architecture, like, you know, carpet making.
Oh God, I would love to try that. What is it called? Tufting.
Casey Lee. Yeah. She's like, tufting.
I would love to try that. And it's because it's cool, because it's like this, just, it's like a little gun that you just shoot to make your little design. And then you trim it up, make it real cute. And all of a sudden you have like this cute rug. And like, I want that.
It looks easy to do. But I think too, and this is like the thought I just now thought of. So sorry, guys, I'm kind of like throwing a wrench in our plans. But like, I thought about it, and this is an idea that I have always struggled with, but people always say, like, if you have a gift in something, like, you can't train people who don't have it to have that. Like, to have it, or maybe talent is the word. Like, you can't train people to have a talent. They have to naturally have the talent, and then you can grow that talent. And I guess maybe because I'm just naive and I haven't experienced a lot in life, but I'm kind of like, man, I just feel like I don't know anything, and I just want to be talented in something, and I don't, like, I want to learn it, and I don't know what it is, and I just want to be good at it. But it might not be that, I might not be like 100% in that. Do you guys think that like a talent can be taught, or that you have to be talented already?
I don't think talent is something that you like have, you know, just like innately. I've always thought what made me, like, I guess the artist that I am today, which it feels weird to say that, by the way,
the artist.
But I think it just starts with, like, because when you're a kid drawing, like, I'm a kid drawing, I'm not drawing, you know, figure drawing when I'm like three, that's when I started drawing, you know. Mm-hmm. I was drawing on pillowcases, like, mm-hmm. I would move the couch, draw behind the couch, strong kid, and move the couch back and just hide my drawing. But I'd be drawing all the time. And that's, I think that's what, you know, that's what it is. It's the interest and the passion for something. Like, I've never let drawing go from that point on. Mm. And obviously, like, I just got better at it afterwards. I think what helped me was not, like, being able to draw, I think more of what the talent was, which is not even a talent, it's just like a thing I have, is that I'm very observational. Mm. And, you know, it's the talent or the gift might be like being able to like observe something and translate that from.
So it's like a skill. That, mm-hmm. Maybe you all have like skills.
It's a skill, but even that can be trained. Right. Yeah, it's a skill that can be trained. Mm. But the talent wasn't something that, again, I was like born with. It was the passion for it, like the thing, that something that I enjoy. The drive, yeah, that's what I think. Because you might find that joy later. Like, I found it pretty early on in life, because drawing is something that kids do all the time,
right?
But you know, some people enjoy it more than others. And I think there's people even that, like, I feel lucky that once I left or got into middle school, I didn't stop drawing. A lot of people like to draw as a kid. Elementary school, you take your art classes, but then you get maybe like, if you get bullied, or you start to feel like drawing is like an immature thing to do. Mm-hmm. I never felt that. I always kind of, people like to see me draw, like the things that I was drawing, which I would actually, you know, if I see that now, I would cringe at my sketchbook. it's, I forgot where I was going with that.
Yeah.
I feel lucky that I wasn't like, I never felt pressured in any bad way about it. And I just was able to enjoy that and continue with it. But a lot of people will reach out to me now that they're drawing. Even this, like, Inktober challenge, I have people that are like, I'm doing it, but I'm not posting anything. I'm like, that's great, you know?
Yeah.
And it's because maybe they left this like little niche or this interest they had, because they felt like they had to outgrow it for some reason. Mm-hmm. Like, they outgrew it.
Wow.
But like, you can always come back to it. Like, it's never too late. And the skill, you know, the passion is still there. And I think that's what's important. Just keeping up or learning what you like and really just continuing to do that, despite maybe you're not even good at it yet, you know?
Right. But, yeah.
And just take your little victories as you get them. Like, you see a little bit of progress, you're like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Just keep enjoying those things.
Yeah. I like that. What about you, Patty? What do you think?
I think that for you as someone, well, I mean, I guess me too, but for anyone who doesn't know what their like passion is, mm-hmm. it's just about trying different things, right? Yeah. Like, let's say you're interested in photography. Maybe that's like your passion. You just haven't like tapped into it yet.
Right. Yeah.
But just like being like, oh, you know what? There's a writing class at the library. I'm going to take it because I'm into it. Or, you know, just being open to trying different things that spark your interest, even if it's just like a little bit. Right. And then see like, oh, actually, yeah, I feel like I am in flow state when I'm taking pictures. Or I feel like I am, because I feel like flow state is like a really powerful place to be in, because it's just like you're not even paying attention to what's happening. You're just in the zone focused on your one activity. And it's like you're not even thinking, you know, you're fully engulfed in that thing. And I feel like once you find something that's like, oh, my God, yeah, I'm in flow.
Yeah,
that is like, to me, that's a sign of like, okay. Like, you found something you genuinely enjoy.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
But the search for that, obviously, is going to take time.
Yeah.
And trial and error. So, I think that's the thing. And then talent, I think some people are born with talent. I think talent is definitely a thing.
Hmm.
I think, though, finding the thing that you like isn't so much about, like, am I good at it? It's about what Casey was saying. Like, do I enjoy it? Is this something I like to spend my free time doing?
Right.
And then just, you know, taking the time to develop it.
Yeah, because anyone, I guess, could be really good. Like, let's say, you know, I could be really good at accounting. I'm not, but
accounting is always your go-to example.
I'm just, you know, like, it's undermined, you know, and let's not undermine it. I'm about to. No, but it's important. But let's say I'm very talented at that, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's something I should like that I want to pursue as like a lifetime pursuit, passion project. And so maybe like I might find that my interest really is, you know, found in art, photography.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the way that I see it is that like that skill that you have just might not be fully developed yet.
Yeah.
And it was meant for you to grow in versus like, okay, I have a talent in something. I'm just naturally good at it, and I'm good at it all the time. But the thing is, some people like I remember listening to, I think the lady that does Ariel, I forgot her name, but she.
Her name starts with a J and then her last name starts with a B.
Jody I can't remember. I don't know why it's escaping me right now. But she was saying, like, you know, she's like, you can't teach someone how to sing. Like, if you can't sing, you can't sing.
Yeah,
you can't teach somebody that. All you can do is make it better.
Yeah,
is like make it into a you know, hone that skill, make it into something that could be better and better and better. And I think that if you find that, whatever that is that you are willing to pursue as to make it better and better and better, I think that could become like, you know, a talent, a quote unquote talent. But I did hear this quote that says like, I hate this happens all the time to me during these episodes where I think of something and I know it's there. But it's basically like when talent doesn't work, hard work works or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like kind of like along those lines. And at the end of the day, what really matters is your perseverance and your hard work and, how willing are you to try and fail to make this better and better and better. And that might take many years. Like for Chelsea, it took, you know, what, 6 years to get to her, to get to where she is today. And, you know, that's fairly a short timeline.
Yeah, I was about to say that's relatively fast.
But she found the door, like the door opened for her and she took it. And I really am like inspired by how she's, you know, she said throughout the episode that she's not a risk taker. And I'm like, bro, but you are. You know, I'm like, you totally are. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I wouldn't do that. Like, I wouldn't do what you did. That's like scary. Going on a show and being with famous people, and I would just shroud myself with self-doubt and like, woe is me, and I can't do this, no way. Like, fear of failure, fear of embarrassment, you know, in people public, pleasing public on TV. You know, but she said something that I really, really liked, and it was, you know, the part where she said, when I saw people leaving, and I'm like, why are they leaving? Like, they're so talented. And if I look at them and I don't think that they're a failure, why would I think that I was a failure? And I really liked that. I thought that was great for her to remind herself that for this, you know, artistic endeavor, like what she has to offer is enough.
Yeah.
And it could go further if she keeps going with it. So yeah, I thought that was really inspiring. And that sets the tone for the rest of this episode. And we picked a main word for it, and it's perseverance.
Right.
For a reason, you know, so we can dive in.
For many reasons.
Yeah. For many reasons.
We
for
got a whole list. In particular.
Yeah. Yeah. We can dive in now, or we can do some icebreakers. What do you guys think?
Oh.
Casey?
All eyes turn to me.
The boss.
Wait, actually, can I say one thing before we move on?
No.
Okay. Got it. Because you were talking about... Okay, all right. Shut up. Because you were talking about finding your passion.
Yeah.
Just in general. And I also feel like it's important to remember that finding your passion isn't like an assignment that you have to fulfill.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I love that.
Like, sometimes you feel like, oh my God, what is my purpose in life? What am I going to do? What do I like? Who am I? And it's just like, maybe just, you know, just chill out and just try a bunch of stuff and see what happens, you know?
Because
I feel like we have this whole narrative as a society of like, what is your purpose? What is your passion? Follow your dreams.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what if I don't have any dreams? Is that bad? Like, I don't know. Like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
So I just feel like it was good to touch on that.
Yeah. And two is that you have to find, like, you have to, like what you said, find what piques your interest. And then whatever you feel that you're in the flow of, pursue that and see what comes out of that.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think too, going into something that you just don't like,
yeah,
it might not work out for too long.
Right.
You know,
it's but, like what Chelsea yeah. said something like that.
Yeah. She's just like, it just didn't last, you mm-hmm. know, for too long. Cause it gets to a point where now it's like, you read a paper. She was saying that. She's like, you read the paper, and she's like, I got really excited when I was reading about like 3D modeling and like yeah. making stuff. But when it came to like landscape architecture, you know, random, like something random, like she talked about mm-hmm. scoring or something. And sidewalk scoring, and it was like, that doesn't really excite me, right. you know. And so she was able to kind of figure out that yeah. maybe this isn't something that I should be, you know, should stay in for too long, or maybe this isn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like, she was smart about it,
yeah.
you know, like I think she really took her time and honing in her skills and tapping into that, even with her daily job, as much as she could in order for that one big opportunity to come.
Right.
You know, and so lucky for her, it ended up being a 6-year process.
Mm-hmm.
And she's still progressing, you right. know, it doesn't stop, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Thanks. You're welcome.
It's crazy.
Jinx.
It's like that, that's the, it reminded me of the movie Soul. I was just
I've never seen it.
I've seen it, but it's been a long time.
I was on my phone trying to find the movie, like the name of the movie, and I had no signal. I didn't show up, and I'm like, it's so easy. It's Soul. And like I said it, you know, without realizing I knew it. But I think that movie was kind of the similar idea of you're like, they're trying to find what your passion is, and a lot of people will, their whole life, just trying to find what that is, but your passion isn't your purpose. It's a.
Right.
Oh,
you know, I never saw that movie, and everyone said it was so existential and like intense.
It was a little deep.
And at the time, I was like, you know, this maybe isn't right for me right now. Like, I don't know.
I think it's not. I mean, it is kind of existential in a way, but I think it's overall like obviously an optimistic movie. It's like a yeah. Pixar movie.
Yeah, it makes you think.
It does. I really loved it, and I like to watch it when I'm like in a almost
in a
like
rut.
I feel like in a rut, kind of in a still place in my life. Because I watch it and it reminds me, like, that's fine. You know, like,
yeah,
it's not a movie that I watch to, like, inspire me to get out or, like, figure things out. It's like, it's okay that you're, you know, maybe on, like, a flat yeah. plateau right now, you know?
Right.
That's totally part of life. And, yeah, so.
Yeah, because I saw this TED Talk. Yeah, I know I have to. but I saw this TED Talk that was, like, the title of it was Stop Looking for Your Passion. I was like, oh, my God, what? So I clicked it, and she was like, yeah, like, I used to live, which is how I feel. Wow. She was like, I feel like as a young person, I would, like, be paralyzed by so many options because I'm like, which one's right? Like, what is my, what's my calling? What am I supposed to do? And she was like, just, like, basically what I said, like, just yeah. chill out. Like,
yeah,
just,
yeah.
just pick something uh-huh. and see what happens. And it's like, yep. you know, it's sometimes that. We forget, we put this like pressure on ourselves yeah. to be like, okay, I need to just, and it's also like just societal. Like as a kid, you're like, yeah. okay, what are you going to be? Choose right now.
Which
right. There's a lamp.
Yeah, there's a lamp. It's made of paper. I hit it. which you guys talked about too.
Yeah.
That whole pressure of like your brain isn't even fully developed.
Yeah.
You said that.
Yep.
And you have to like just choose something forever. But
exactly.
that's like unrealistic, and it's just, you know.
Yeah, and there's just so much, yeah, like you said, there is a lot of pressure when you're young. And I think what they're trying to do is create, you know, a mentality of like just work for something,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like not towards nothing.
Yeah.
Like maybe there has to be an end goal in mind that you have to be thinking about when you're doing your schoolwork, you
yeah.
know, like that's the positive case scenario. Like that honestly is like, I've come to that probably.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? They probably just force that in us because they think that like, that's like, there's an end goal and you have to like push towards that end goal. And that might not actually be where you end up, you know?
Right.
But at the same time, it like kind of confuses you a little bit because now there's like this pressure of like, well, you know, if that actually doesn't work out for you, then now it's like you're terrified because you're like,
yeah, you're like in this abyss.
Yeah, this
you're
abyss.
Like,
and everything's like on a timeline.
Yeah.
Everything's on a timeline. Everything is like you got to pay for it and time is money. And,
uh-huh.
you know, like and then you compare yourself to other people and where they are. And as the older you get, like it's just if you're not at a certain level where most mm-hmm. of your friends are, where maybe two of your friends are, like
yeah.
you're like, why am I not there? You know?
Mm-hmm.
but you are where you are, and you have to be content with that, and not to like slap anyone in the face with that, but it's like you have to be content with that, because then how else are you gonna gonna continue burying yourself in doubt and like, I'm never gonna make it, I'm never gonna make it, or are you gonna dig yourself out of the hole?
Right.
And like you said, pick something and just hone that and see what happens. And you know, and I don't really know in this case for everybody, but it seems as though when you do that and you work really hard, things might eventually fall into place, you know? And so you might end up finding that maybe this was a good idea, is just to pick something. And then that was probably one of the best advice I got from my brother, who's always been like a mentor for me in that regard, is, you know, he would always say, like, you don't know landscape architecture. When I was in school, he's like, you just don't know what it is. You can't say that you're passionate about it yet, but just try and just learn as much as you can. Work really, really hard and be the best as you can be, and do your best and see if it's for you.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that perspective, because then the pressure's off. And he even asked me recently, he's like, so, and this is not what is asked by most people, but he asked me, what do you think about the industry, and do you think that you want to continue?
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I don't know.
Mm.
And he's like, okay, cool. Maybe I'll ask you that same question in 3 months and I want to know what you have to say. I'm like, yeah, that's a good question. Like, I don't know. But hey, I'm learning.
Yeah.
And so far, I like it. You know? I don't know what it is, but I like it.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's a great, great point. Is don't pressure yourself. Just figure it out as it comes. So,
yeah. Sorry to derail us, but
no, it's never a derail. Okay. It's an unpaved path.
Oh my god!
They're all unpaved.
All unpaved. Yeah.
Yeah.
So hit us with that icebreaker.
Yeah.
Because we need the ice. We need the ice to be broken.
We just need it to be broken. It's like so cold in here.
We have a big bag of ice. We just got to smash them. Because then we can't use it.
Okay. We only have crushed ice
in our cups. Well, I guess it should be said first that we're going to National ASLA Conference in San Francisco. Yeah.
Surprise!
The Bay.
The Bay.
We're going to the West Side.
West Coast.
I'm so excited. Oh my gosh. San Francisco is, I think I said it over and over again in the episode. I was like, it's magical.
Yeah, it really is. We're about 20 days away from this trip. And I guess for this icebreaker, I want to know what three things, it's a nice Tres. Number, are you most excited about?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, are you ready? No. The way you said that was
no,
like,
no.
Oh, okay.
I meant like, okay, let me think.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I think the obvious one is being in San Francisco.
I know. I was about to say we can't like, say that one, because that can't
I'm gonna
be used.
Say it. I'm gonna say
Everyone's
it.
Everyone's gonna say it.
We all are gonna agree that San Francisco, the
rules.
Weather, just being over there.
Yeah
number one.
There. Yeah,
that's a good one. Me
number two.
Okay. Maybe no. Just yeah. Keep going.
Me.
Keep going,
okay.
Two, yeah.
Number two would be, well, we all are going to like these different conference, not conferences, different like field trips.
Okay, we're not actually going to ASLA.
Yeah, we're not all going to San Francisco.
No, I'm just kidding.
You actually will be there.
Yeah. No, we're all going to different field talks.
Yeah.
On the first day. Yeah, different sessions. And I'm very excited for the one that I'm going to, which is all about Chinatown and how it has developed into what it is today. I honestly, I don't even know what's in store for that session, but it seems really cool because based on the description, it was like how the government has played a role in helping Chinatown become what it is today, and just like we're doing a whole walking tour of Chinatown, and I love dim sum, and I'm so excited.
Wow. Yeah. Are you guys actually going to be eating? Like, is there going to be food?
I'm a pop
you
in.
You want to make it happen?
Yeah, I'll ditch the group for 10 minutes, get some dumplings.
A lot of those sessions had lunch included, so it might be part of your trip.
It better be authentic Chinese food.
Mm.
If it's a pop sub, I'm gonna lose
so
it.
Mad.
I'm gonna lose it.
It's a 39-cent cup of ramen. You eat on the bus on the way back to the conference.
Exactly. Oh, that's funny.
So I'm excited for that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm excited for you. That's going to be so cool.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, y'all also have some good ones.
Yeah.
That's actually my number two. So number one, I agree. It's San Francisco. Yeah. I know. But the session that I'm going to is going to be kind of like a tour of the Muir Woods. Ooh, which
shout out to Chelsea for designing something in it. I don't remember what exactly
work. For doing something. I think it was the salmon.
Yeah, something about the river and the salmon.
Yeah, naturalizing the salmon river so that the salmon could fish. Mm-hmm. Up the river, or could swim up the river.
Hmm. Maybe she'll come up, I'll bring her up. Actually, I'll be like, actually, we had her on the actually on the podcast. But I mean, not only is I've been to San Francisco once before, but wasn't able to go. I kind of saw the woods from across the bridge, but I was like, that's so far. Someday, so I didn't get to visit that last time I went, but this time maybe I want to get like an actual tour of the site. I'm really excited about. Oh, love getting a good hike. It's going to be a good morning hike.
I'm so jelly.
So I mean, the nature part of it's like awesome, but there's actually it's funny, there's an episode of Parks and Rec that they go through the Muir Woods. Leslie's character with I forgot his name actually.
Ron Swanson?
No.
Chris Pratt in the movie, in the show?
Her husband in the show. Ben?
Oh, Ben.
Yes. So Leslie and Ben are going through the Muir Woods, kind of just trying to get a tour of the place where she might be working in.
Remember this what? Episode.
Yeah, that must be deep in the show.
I've watched that show maybe like 7 times front to back. Front to back?
Okay. I'm like trying to quick whisper.
left no gap for like comment.
Left no gap.
So I think they're both walking through because Leslie, the character, is going to potentially work for that region, right? Like that'll be one of the national parks she'll be in charge of. And as they're walking through, Ben like pauses and he's like, these are the the trees of Endor, like from Star Wars. I'll be going. Now there's two cultural references that I'll have to like be able to be a part of, you know.
Yeah.
Star Wars and also Parks and Rec, which is two of my favorite things. So I'm really looking forward to being there.
Nice. Yeah, it's gonna be cool. Mm-hmm. And like the best part is that you have a guide. I love having a tour guide. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, I go crazy for a good tour.
It's not just trees. Like I'm sure there's a lot of history there to learn about, and I love that.
Well, I think they're going to be talking about the water table under or something.
That's cool.
I don't remember. Is it that? Do you don't know? I don't know. Say it in the mic. Say you don't know. You're just looking at me like. That's fine. Like, sorry.
I don't
know. I bullied her.
I'm sorry.
I'm crying. I'm like sobbing into the mic.
Anyway, I think it's that. And that's going to be so cool because you're going to learn so much. Really cool, and Casey. Knowledge is power.
I love it. So powerful.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Lunch is also included there. I
know.
Yeah.
Lunch is included in all of our lunch.
I know.
Watch yours be like a camper's, you know, lunch. Like they're going to have
like foraging mushrooms. Like what you find is what you eat.
Foraging mushrooms. I was going to say like a tent.
I was thinking like astronaut food.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, something you cook in a bag.
Eat it. Cook in a bag.
Those like military packs, you know.
One of Chelsea's salmon.
Yeah.
They just give you a stick. They're like, go get your lunch.
It's included.
You can keep the stick. You just can't take it into the
sticks included.
I'm dead. Well, surprise, surprise. The second one is also my session.
Wow.
Because the session that I'm going to is called Sharpen Your Landscape Architecture Photography Skills in the Golden City.
So fancy.
We're going to be like, walking around the Golden City. I don't know what that tour, South Mission Bay, Mariposa Park, Smith Cardiovascular Research Building, Pier, Point Lane, and conclude with a photo critique.
Ooh.
Oh, I'm a little scared. I didn't read it. Sure.
Oh, no.
Why do I skim stuff?
The anxiety kicked in last second.
I'm like, I'm just going to pretend.
It's no longer
like,
my second favorite.
I'm so looking forward to getting critiqued. silently crying.
It's scary, but critique is a good, necessary good thing.
It's a good thing. I need that because I've never had that for landscape photography before. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited. I'm actually really considering renting a camera because I have my camera, but I want to get a good camera. I want to try it out for this one. So I think I'm going to try to do that. But I'm really excited because, again, like, I just never had, you know, the opportunity to, hone that skill. I see it, landscape photography is, like, a big needed thing. Like, even for our projects where I work, like, marketing for your projects is very, very, very important. So people need to know the kind of work that you're doing and need to know that it gets built and that it's beautiful, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm really excited about that one and I can't wait to walk around and learn from experts really is what I'm excited about too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's a skill you can like continue using, you know, like once you take that course, you can continue taking pictures.
Absolutely.
And I think, it'll be nice to get a picture. I mean, I know that session's like in the morning, but. You know, around sunset, because you get to actually see the sunset over there,
Oh, my gosh.
Seeing the Golden City during golden hour.
I just can't right now. Like, number three. The thought is like...
Number three. Number three. Someone say number three.
The sunset. But it's hard to detach, like, yourself from the idea that you're going to be in San Francisco, because there really are, like, really unique experiences there. Mm-hmm. Not only just the places that you go to, but because we're so not used to the environment there.
Right.
We're not used to the environment. We're not used to as Floridians, I guess, we're not used to the terrain, the climate.
Right.
Like, that's what I'm excited about, is, like, experiencing all these things that we never really get to experience.
Yeah, I'm excited to be in the cold for a few days.
Me too.
I love it.
We might not say that. Like when we're there, but
yeah, I don't know if I have the right equipment, but
I don't know either.
We'll have to go shopping.
Yeah,
I guess I have no choice.
Yeah.
I think my number three, kind of adds to number one, which is kind of like what you were just saying, which is that we're going to be in San Francisco. And I think one of the big things also is like, I don't know how much time we're going to have, but in theory, I picture us roaming the streets at night and like, seeing all the nightlife and like seeing the difference, because obviously Miami's like super nightlife, like super clubby and everything.
Yes,
I want to see what the deal is over there. What do they do? Do they just go to bars? Do they just see like live bands? Like, what is it?
No. What is it, Casey? I feel like you would know.
They have a comedy scene there.
A
comedy scene?
They have a comedy scene there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sanford?
That's where Robin Williams is from.
No.
He's a big one.
Can we go visit the house where he did Mrs. Doubtfire?
Yeah. Yeah, if we can. Yeah, I'm in. I love that movie.
Patty, you're in charge of us.
Yeah.
So. Okay. I don't know more than
no. I love that movie.
Wow. Let's do it. I had no idea.
Yeah. I was going to say something.
Yeah, I was going to say you leaned in pretty quickly.
You know something about the
nightlife.
I feel
like you know something about it.
Oh.
She's like, well.
I don't know, but I feel like the scene is like kind of more quiet, like Napa Valley type of, like a wine place, like a place where you can get wine, you know? Napa Valley's like a distance away. I have a friend there who might be able to help us, you know.
Okay. Navigate.
The nightlife. Yeah. Maybe not so much the comedy scene, but like nightlife in San Francisco.
Yeah.
It'd be nice.
I'm
like,
curious.
Go to like what do coffee shops look at? Like, what do they just, do people hang out at coffee shops and do that? I feel like
I'm getting
that's
that vibe,
right?
Yeah. I'm getting like kind of Seattle vibes, but a little, I don't know what the word is, because Seattle's very like grungy because of Kurt Cobain. They have that whole thing going on.
Oh,
but San Francisco feels
like, who's their like, famous person? Is it Robin Williams?
Is it Robin Williams?
Did he set the vibe?
Is it Bob Saget? R.I.P.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. Oh my God. No disrespect. No disrespect.
No disrespect. R.I.P.
But because I feel like it's like a more mature but still edgy city. And like, there's still cool things happening, but it's not like in your face, like,
yeah, you know? But I do think they have a party life. Mm-hmm. I think so too. Francisco. I think there's a lot of,
I feel like it's actually underground. I think Seattle's underground scene is that everything is underground, you know, in a way. So that's like their whole vibe. And then San Francisco actually has places that you need to know locals, like, to be able to go.
Yeah.
That's
what I think. I'm excited for that.
I wonder if people, like, I guess, because when I went there, and that was like a few years ago, I mean, like maybe in 2018, 2017, and I just remember people like looking happy and like, I can't stopping, wait to be happy. Yeah, and like stopping on the side of the road to pick up trash and then like going to the park and like hanging out at the park, you know, or riding their bikes. Like a lot of people ride their bikes there, and like it just seems like a very, you know, I don't know. There's just something about that place.
And it's like,
I can imagine there, and it's also like a tourist attraction too. Yeah. So I can't not imagine there being like a nightlife, not being a nightlife there. But I think the daytime is like the day where they like use up all this chill energy.
Yeah.
They just like maybe take it all out at night. I don't know.
Unleash everything.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. But
it's just, it's such a cool city because it's obviously a major city, right. But it doesn't look like the other major cities. It doesn't feel like the others. You know it what I mean? Doesn't. And like, yeah, every city has a different vibe. Like Boston is different from New York, which is different from Chicago.
Right.
But San Francisco, I think, sticks out from that whole, from it, all the others, in my opinion.
It has a character to it. Like, obviously everywhere does, but it just has its own flavor.
It feels like secure in who it is. You know what I mean? Yeah, it feels like it has a historical, strong identity.
Yeah, yeah, it's a strong, a strong identity. Yeah, I think so too. And there, and it's just, you walk around and you're just like, where the heck am I? Like, I remember seeing succulents growing out of the concrete in like this beautiful Victorian townhouse. Mm. And I'm like, where the heck am I?
Beautiful.
It's really cool. So yeah. I think we're going to be really hitting the town.
Yeah.
And I really would love to explore it as much as possible.
Yeah. I really want to juice this.
Yes. I want to juice this.
Yeah.
And I think that's why these sessions are so important for us. Because originally we wanted to do one session together. And as sad as it will be to like break up and everything for like to do our sessions, I'm really excited for everyone because we're all going to have such different experiences, and then we're going to come back.
We're going to share them all. Yeah.
We're going to share all the stuff.
I'm going to tell you guys how many trees I hugged. Yeah. I bring back some bark with me. I'm like, here's some for you.
Oh, yes. You're just mushroom I found.
Mushroom, yeah. Like it's poisonous. Don't eat it.
I have a rash already.
Yeah. I think my number three is going to be the tailgate.
Oh,
yeah.
With all the students in the college.
Is the tailgate like at the happy hour?
Or the tailgate is actually all the college students getting together, I think.
That sounds kind of fun.
Yeah.
I like that.
The happy hour, there's a few, actually. I think Land Effects is having one. And then...
Did we sign up for that?
We signed up for the Land 8.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. They always do a happy hour.
Yeah, they always do one. We went to the Labash ones. We got tickets. Land 8, we are coming for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're excited. And what was the other thing I was going to say?
Tailgate,
I think, is actually all of the landscape architecture programs like throughout the nation. I think like all the colleges are coming together and we're about to hit it up and be like, yo.
Green site
in the West Coast,
and we will have merch.
So
if anyone's going to that conference, we got merch,
but limited.
Limited. So find us ASAP.
Yeah. If you want something free, you might get something.
You know which sessions we're at now.
Yeah.
You all know where to find us.
You can track us down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're really excited. And I'm really curious to see how many students are going to be there for this one. Because last there was a lot of students in the last one. I think the last national conference in Nashville.
Oh, you went to Nashville.
There were like, I think it, I think they were saying that it was the largest amount of students that ever went to a national conference.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. But I went by myself, and so I have to say, a little overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, conferences are a lot.
They're a lot, but then yeah. but then at the like expo hall, mm-hmm. they were all like in their own tables, and they were like huge groups of students. And there was like a competition, I think, and like they were doing something. I don't know. I was so busy talking and networking with other like people that I didn't get a chance to see it. But this time around, I think I'm going to start taking more advantage of that because students are crucial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is your first time going to a national conference, not as a student, you know?
Yes.
So.
Yes, yeah. That is so true. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That's so weird. What a weird thought. Hmm. I never would have thunk.
Yeah, now you're official press.
Yeah. Official press. Yeah. Read all about it. Or listen.
Listen.
Listen. Yeah. But yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
My number three is kind of attached to number one also. Mm. About being in San Francisco. I cannot wait to layer up. You can't layer clothes here in Miami.
Bro, the fits.
The fits.
They're going to be fire.
We're going to post all those. Yeah. And the weather, like, I think my hair is kind of used to the humidity here.
Yes.
But I think the weather in San Francisco feels like it's always, like, you're always, crisp. Like, picture ready. You know, like, the air's crisp. It's windy. You know, so you get to have that, like, hair in the dust. Wind right. moment.
Beyonce moment.
As soon as you step outside. But I think it's kind of, that's kind of it, you know, like dressing, getting to dress for the weather.
Yeah.
You know,
the whole. It's gonna be so fun.
Yeah. The whole ensemble, you know, all that.
Yeah. Because the endless summer thing down here is obviously like great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not complaining.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But sometimes you're like, okay, how many times am I going to wear these shorts? How many times am I going to wear this tube top? How much?
Okay, but like.
Yeah, I need to switch it up and I can't because I can only wear one article of clothing at a time. So it's for the fashion, we need the cold.
It gets a little repetitive. It gets a little so repetitive. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Absolutely. I can't wait to at least like wear a coat and then wear it all the time. And never take it off because I actually got this coat that my friend gave me that I am obsessed with. And I don't have it right now because I let my friend borrow it.
Okay.
But it's like a, what's that with like checkered style?
Oh, you know, I don't know patterns.
I don't know either. My friend but it's like knows a so checkered patterns. Style. Yeah.
Is it gingham?
Huh?
Is it gingham?
I don't know.
No?
Gangnam style? Gangnam.
That's like more picnic-esque.
No, it's not picnic. It's not perfect squares. It's like the pointy.
It's like, a little Z. It's like a dog tooth.
Burlap.
No,
right? What's burlap?
Houndstooth. All of us are on our phones right. now. I think I'm pretty close, actually.
Houndstooth.
I'm gonna look up. Patterns.
Oh, it is. It's houndstooth.
It's called houndstooth.
What the heck? You know that?
Which
know
one's that. Burlap? Is burlap a material?
Burlap is a material.
Oh my god! A burlap it's is like a sack looking.
It's a rice bag type.
It is a potato sack.
Oh my god!
It's okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's not your skill.
It's not my passion.
It's not mine either.
Wait, so what is it?
Houndstooth,
yeah.
So I think it'd be the useful fact, you know, for trivia.
So
nights.
Cute. It looks like those little, what's that video game? The Space Invader?
Yes.
It looks like the little ship.
Oh, yeah, it totally repeat. Does.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what that is. Maybe that's what they got it from.
Maybe. Kind of,
but it's a houndstooth.
Is it black and white?
No, it's black and tan.
Mm. Ooh, so it's
it's not like
hold on.
Like black that. And white is like it kind of reminds me of what's that 101 Dalmatians?
Yeah, I know exactly. Cruella de Vil.
Cruella de Vil.
That was before you even. I was like, I know. What you're
talking I know exactly what you're talking about. Cruella de Vil. That's it. That's the one.
Yes.
Yeah. So yes. It's kind of a little bit lighter than that darker tan, a little bit darker.
Yep.
Yeah, like that.
Got it.
Got it.
Well, this is not houndstooth.
That's not houndstooth, but the color is there. The color's there. Yeah, it's so cute. And she gave it to me. She's like, I don't know, it's just not my style. And I was like, but it's mine. That's the one.
It looks really cute.
That's the one, yeah.
It looks put together, but still like, you know, casual. Yeah. Not casual, but like, you're not posh.
Classy,
but like, you look good.
Yes. Yeah. posh, but I look good. That's what we're going right. for. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not posh, but looking good.
Like a down-to-earth posh.
There you go.
I think yeah. that's San Francisco. That's the identity of San Francisco.
Down-to-earth posh?
Yeah.
Oh, my yeah. gosh. Yes.
You think so?
I'm wearing my San Francisco jacket.
Oh, my God.
I'm so excited. So it's beautiful, and I love it, and I can't wait to wear it all the time. Mm-hmm. Mm. So, yeah. But it's going to be great. It's going to be great to experience something as a podcast at the conference. And it's going to be y'all's first national conference.
Correct.
So that, to me, I'm excited about.
Never been to any.
Yeah.
National ASLA conferences. I was really excited for the one in Miami.
Yeah.
Obviously, as we all were.
Yeah, as we all were. But until it was our left. For dashed.
Yep.
But
that's
yeah.
fine.
Ain't mad about it anymore.
Yeah, it's okay.
Now we're going to San Francisco, just moving forward.
Yeah.
You know,
moving up uphill.
Oof, the climb.
Oh no, I was just thinking running up that hill. I'm gonna make a San Francisco playlist.
Yes. Yeah. I'm so excited. Yeah, so see us there, guys, and you know, always please feel free to say hi and stop us if any of us look familiar or anything. Right.
Or if you hear us and you're yeah. like, wait a minute, I know that voice. I know who that is.
Exactly. And when you if you ever see us in person, for some reason we always all look like sisters. People always think that we are all sisters.
Yeah.
Or that we're related.
That's because we were in Louisiana. You know what I mean? Like, say we no stuck more. Out. Yeah. So, and we moved as a clan. So they're probably like sisters. Yeah.
I know. But I also do kind of agree, though. Like, we all do kind of look
because we have
similar
attributes. We do. We're from similar regions of the world.
We
you know
are.
What I mean?
We
like,
are.
I get it. I get regions. It.
It's so cool, though. I actually like that.
Yeah. Sisters.
Do you think we're sisters? Yes. Let's see. But yeah, so that's a good icebreaker. Thanks, Casey.
Of course.
I think that was like the whole episode.
Yeah.
We're done. I'm stopping it.
So one aspect of Chelsea's interview I really think is important or integral to her personality even and how she got to where she is that we made up a word and it was risk averted risk taker.
Mm-hmm.
So she took the risk knowing that her tendency is to say no to something that's risky. And she did it anyways and it worked out for her. So my question is, in what ways have either of us taken a risk and either are on the path to figuring out if that was a good idea or have found that risk ended up being a bad idea or that was a good idea? Does anyone have personal stories?
I'll say that I think the risk that I took, which doesn't really feel like a risk that has like a lot at stake, but was like posting my art online. Well, first of all, like the idea of a sketchbook is like having a private thing that you can mess up in. Mm. And like it's a judgment free zone where you can like practice, hone your craft. And that's mostly what I was. And that's mostly what I do. Like I don't really make or I feel like I don't make finished pieces much. Like I just sketch a lot. And I wanted to share that because I was also seeing a lot of stuff online that was inspiring me. And I thought, you know, might as well share this. Mostly in the beginning, it was a way to kind of archive my work. Because, I mean, I have sketchbooks. But it's not like I go through them all the time, you know. I don't want to have like a billion pictures on my phone, so I'm like, this is Instagram, it's free, I'll just post my stuff there. And I like to go through it, see my own progress of what I'm sharing at least. But when I post my things up there, it's like now kind of open to judgment from people. And I've found a really supportive community. It's mostly been my friends that kind of reach out through there, or family even. Like I had an aunt of mine reach out yesterday, was like, how are you? Inktober stuff looks amazing. Mm. And I'm like, I'm good, thanks. But there's also people that I've like met through there. And it's because, like, I mean, there's that risk of like you're open, you know, to criticism now on this thing that's very personal to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you're still not, like, I'm not a master of this by any means. I don't think there's any, like, even a master themselves, like, can learn more. Like, there's never a stopping point to the growth.
Right. Yeah.
And for me, like, it also, so I'm posting my work out there, knowing it's not like the best thing I've ever done. It's just like what I'm doing right now, what I've enjoyed. A lot of the stuff I post, I'll look at like a week later and be like, I can't believe I shared that. Like it's messed up. It's, yeah, there's something wrong with it.
Right.
But the pros of it were that, like, I found people, or some people started seeing me as someone that does this, which I know I'm not the only one, but I do post it online. Some people reach out to me about drawing, about like materials. Wow. The best thing that I've learned, or like gotten from it, I think, is like people telling me that they like are drawing now, you know, because of seeing my work, or like I inspired them in some way, which was never like the goal. But I think that's a really, really nice thing that like came like a byproduct of that.
Yeah, that's really awesome. I think that that's kind of the purpose of why, well, maybe not the purpose, but that's the, what's it called? Like something that comes out of something, the byproduct, like you said, like the byproduct of your hard work and the fact that it's inspiring other people. Like the master is maybe the person who, I've used this analogy before, where it's like, you might know how to build a table and a chair, but someone who's just starting only knows how to build a chair, and they are like, teach me how to build a table. And you're like, well, I don't know how to build a house, but I know how to build a table and chair, you know? And so you can teach them that. And I think that is the beauty of being in art, or having a skill or a craft or a talent, or you get to teach other people, which, or inspire other people, either way. And then they get to pass that down to other people. Mm-hmm. That's like, sharing that is really beautiful. So that's a good risk you took.
Mm-hmm. It is. And also, like, even I think I'm pretty shy on social media. Like, I don't like to share things, or to even like on captions, I'm like, why do my work, like, why would I say anything to any of you, you know? And it's such a weird thought, because it's like, oh, this is so like normalized, and it's like, for some reason I can't just speak on this thing. But even your captions, I'm like, she's so brave. I know. Like, she's just like, you're just being so authentic with like, haha, I kind of hate this, but here it is.
I'm like, I just hear that, like, in Casey's voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's great. She's so like open about the whole process. And like, obviously you're sharing your actual work, which I'm sure, you know, could be nerve wracking at times.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very inspiring just to see how like open you are with everything. Yeah,
it's pretty inspiring.
All of that is like to myself. Like, the people that follow me, that like read that stuff, I don't expect it. Like, I don't type anything down thinking like anyone's going to read this. I'm like, this is my personal diary. It's just public. Like,
yeah. Right. Yeah.
And that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. They're all notes to myself. You know, if I make myself laugh, I'm like, it's a good caption. You know,
Lamau.
Like, I'm funny.
I love that.
And that's the only thing that like clicks. Not that I think much about it. It's just like whatever thoughts I have in the moment, I just write that down.
Yeah. Like, it's clear you're not, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah,
it's clear you're not like overthinking any of it, you know?
Oh yeah.
Like it comes off as very like authentic and just like, this is what's up.
This is who I am.
Mm-hmm. This is me.
Hello world.
Thank you.
Esta soy yo. Yeah. Well, I've recently, as you both know, have been doing improv, which is something that I've always wanted to do. And I've always been interested with comedy and performing and like stand up and all that. And a part of me was always like, I feel like I could do that, but I just never did. And I think I built it up as like this thing that's like unattainable for some reason, even though it's literally just being silly. Like, yeah, it's just like makes you're playing like pretend. That's all you're doing.
Like a professional at that. Like, I'm playing pretend. About, no, not playing pretend, about just being silly. Like, you can literally be silly about anything.
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, I could do that. But for some reason, it was such like a pent up thing. Like, I gave it so much importance, which is, I think, something I do a lot. Like, I tend to like fixate on something and then I'm like, well, I could never do that. Like, it's going to be like, if I do that, then what? Like, do I think I'm going to become like a professional comedian? And then like, what? I'm going to tour the world. Like, what? And like, I just kind of go off on this thing. I'm like, I could never be that person. But it's like, literally all you need to do is just like get on the stage and pretend to be like a cow or something. Yeah. Like, it's so stupid.
Yeah.
But I have so much fun doing it and I'm really glad I did it because now I like, I go every week to the theater and like we take a class and we perform. And Casey's seen me perform. Yeah.
She's great.
Oh, thanks. My gosh. That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Aww.
You can go to my show tomorrow. I'm actually performing tomorrow.
I've been trying
tomorrow.
To go, bro.
Yeah, go tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
What time? Where?
It's at 8:30 in Little Haiti.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll make it work.
It's okay. It's a Tuesday, so it's inconvenient. Okay. But yeah, anyway.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it's cool because one, like, I push myself out of my comfort zone because like, even as like a kid in like school, I'd always be like, oh, drama seems so cool, but I'm like, I'm quiet. I'm like a shy person. Yeah. So I'm like, I don't really want my peers to see me doing that.
Yeah.
So I just never did it. And now I'm like, am I too old for that? But I'm like, I'm not even that old.
No, you're not.
So
that
yeah, I'm not, I'm pretty young. So so I went for it and it's really cool because like obviously I've met like-minded people that are like, oh yeah, comedy's so cool. And like I've been writing sketches with a friend of mine from the group. And
oh
it's
my
just
gosh.
Yeah, and you guys know I love writing. So now I'm like writing like comedy stuff like on the side like for fun. And like I found this syllabus for a screenwriting class for University of South California, USC. And like it has all the assignments, so I'm just out here doing the assignments, like, you know what I mean?
What?
For free, because like no one's
no
grading
way.
me. Yeah, I found like all the stuff.
Oh,
screenwriting
goodness.
101 literally. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
From like the best school for like what that is. So yeah, I've just been having like a lot of fun doing that.
Wow,
that's yeah
awesome.
So I'm glad I did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really really good one.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's definitely a risk for sure, because you're really honing in what you have loved for a long time, but you've never known if this was like, I don't know, something that you felt that you were going to be good at, but you are naturally good at it.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like I always thought I would be good at it, but people in my class are always like, you're really good at this, and I'm like, yeah, right.
Like,
I've always thought that. Yeah. Okay.
Oh yeah, and having other people confirm and encouraging you is like, so it really can push you to like actually do it.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like on stage, like the flow? Do you feel that moment when you're doing improv?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, because also you're kind of, since it's like a team effort, because the way it works is like we take a suggestion and there's like, right now there's like, I don't know, 9 of us. So we all get on stage. We're like, hey, we're blah, blah, blah. And we need a word to start us off. And then someone says like, shoebox. And we're like, okay, shoebox, here we go. And then we all go off stage and then 2 of us just have to show up on stage and do something with shoebox. So it's like one person, typically one person's like brave and starts being like, huh, my God, these new Adidas. And then someone else has to like get on stage quick and kind of like support them.
Oh my
and be like,
gosh.
Oh, I know, right? They're crazy. And like,
improv
we just have to
is so hard.
It's
how
so insane, but it's also so stupid. It's kind of crazy.
That is crazy. You have to be really talented to do that, Patty.
Yeah, no, you have to think fast. And like, especially when you see like, sometimes there's bits that go on for too long and you have to go in and cut them off. Cause then, cause there's no like communication.
Right.
You just run on and cut them off. And
well,
then
you
like you start
read.
A new scene.
You have to read a lot of what's going on too, right?
Yeah, you have to watch them, you have to see like where they're going, you have to see like what's the potential for switching the topic, like when's a good time. And then like, let's say someone says something like, oh, my mom bought me these Adidas 2 years ago and like I hate them, and then like you're like, okay, I can come out as the mom now. So you come out and you're like, I bought you those shoes and I thought you loved them. And it's just like, it's just you have to think really fast. And I think that's why like you easily get in flow, because you can't really think. Like, it's not something,
you just gotta keep going.
You just have to keep going.
Wow.
So it's pretty cool.
Wow.
I think it's something that I never thought I would like actually go see an improv show like that. Because I get, like, I'm the type of person that, like, if someone on the, like, I'm watching TV and someone's doing like a embarrassing thing, like I get secondhand embarrassment.
Oh, you get like cringe
kinda? I get like the cringe or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that with improv that I would be like, because I'm an awkward person, so I can't physically or even like in my imagination see myself doing that. So I would always feel like, oh no, like, what are they going to do? But they just have such a, like, you guys have such a good time up there on the stage. That was the first time I saw improv, was seeing you at your last graduation. And she did, she really did great. And the group was really fun too. But seeing everyone just like kind of vibe off each other. And it's just like, they're really, the pressure, you know, I imagine there's pressure beforehand. But in the moment, all you see is them having like a really great time. Yeah. And I think that's what makes a good show, you know?
Yeah.
And it's because of that flow. Like, you're just in it and you can't even, like, question it. You know, you just have to be in that moment. Because
there have been times where I get kind of like, oh, should I go in now? Should I go in later? Like, oh, I don't know what to say.
Overthink
it. Yeah. And then at that point, I'm just kind of watching the show from the back.
Yeah.
And people will realize, you're like, go up there. And I'm like, well, no, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
But it's just like, you just have to kind of forget. You just have to, like, clear your mind completely and just go on stage. And it's cool because it's like, a lot of the times, like, obviously you're supposed to be funny too, so you have to like make jokes while you're up there, of course. So it's just, you know, it's just funny to like have to be like making jokes on the spot, and everyone's like, haha, good one. When you get a laugh, like, I personally, I black out when I'm on stage because you can't think. So I'm like, oh my gosh, completely shut off. Sometimes I don't even know what I'm doing. Like, next thing I know, like, I'm on all fours, like, mooing, or like, I was a goat once, or like, I was a gnome once, like, with my little hands up, like a little gnome's hat. Oh, I was a ghost. Like, there's just so many things that happen. And like, if you think about it and you're like, I'm literally acting like this in front of a crowd, like, it's going to shut you off. So,
True. Wow. That's really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a good another skill that like carries you forward almost. It's just like, just do it almost in a way. Yeah. Like, just get out there and do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I think that's a great like skill. I also think it kind of shows even in the podcast, you know, like this like quick thinking, you know, that you do, keeping it lighthearted, funny, you know.
Yeah,
definitely. I think you definitely have a knack for that. And like I was saying, like, you can be very silly and like easily about anything.
Yeah,
about anything. And I crack up at everything all the time. So it always makes the group. It's a really good group dynamic.
Yeah,
to have someone with an improv.
Yeah, definitely. I remember I used to think like people, well, I don't know, like in studio and stuff, that'd be the thing that people say about me. They're like, oh, you like are so cheerful and so funny. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm smart too. Like, I get kind of like, but now I'm like, it's such a beautiful thing, like, to be like that person. You know?
Yeah, actually, what I always hear all the time is like, comedians always, the way they compliment each other is they call each other like brilliant. You know what I mean? Like, they always say that. They're like, they're just like, oh my gosh, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
Because it is a very smart thing to know how to make people laugh.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know how to do that.
Oh yeah.
And to make a large group of people laugh all at that is, yeah, that's the talent for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, no, it's very impressive.
You guys are doing risky stuff. I feel like I'm doing anything risky.
Remember, I'm just playing pretend.
Yeah. I love that.
I'm literally just doodling.
Yeah. You know?
It's like what you do when you don't pay attention in class.
Yeah. Dang,
I carry my little coloring book with me everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I started a podcast.
Dude. Are you serious?
No way.
I don't know. I feel like I've talked about it so much. I don't know. I was actually going to say that, like, I quit a job once. Mm. But I don't know, because it's not as cool and creative and artistic as what you guys decided to do. This one was more of, like, if I don't do this, it's not going to be good for me, like, if I continue doing this. But that's the only thing that I can think of besides the podcast. I mean, it was an internship with a landscape architecture firm, and you know, it was one of those firms that you look at and you're like, oh my gosh, this is like a dream. Like, I would be crazy not to take this job. I would be crazy not to apply. And it just had everything, like everything I ever wanted in a job, and it was local and they had beautiful projects, and you know, but the funny thing is that there was this. What I didn't realize is that I have a friend who had worked there many, many years ago, who told me, and I didn't know the name at all. Like, I didn't know that it was that firm. But she had told me that she had experienced like sexual harassment at the firm, and they never dealt with it, you know, in like a proper way.
Right.
And so they had like really made her feel like she wasn't heard at all. And, you know, that again, like I think we all know that landscape architecture is like a business at the end of the day. And, but this was like, we don't care about you as a person, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, it wasn't until much later than I realized like, oh, this might not be a good idea. But then I thought to myself, I was like, well, maybe that's just one person's experience, you know, mm-hmm. like maybe, I don't know, like I probably might've, maybe that won't happen to me, you know? And it didn't happen to me, just mm-hmm. FYI, I just want to preface, nothing like that happened to me. But what I want to say is that, I ended up taking the job because I didn't know if that specific experience was specific or if it was speaking to the whole firm. I was like, you know right. what? I'm just going to try mm-hmm. and see what happens.
Give it like the benefit of the doubt kind it, of.
Well, yeah. And then I'm just an intern.
Yeah.
Right. Like I just show up and I tell them my hours and I leave. So that gives me the in, like my half a foot in the door, and I get to see what the company's actually like. And you know what? I'm just going to try. I'm just going to see what it is. And I go, and every day it was like everyone absolutely looked miserable every day. And the funny thing is like, it's a firm that does residential work, you know, like they're just doing, you know, high end residential. And I could not get over the fact that every day I went to work, it was like everyone hated it. Yeah. And or everyone felt like they were forced to have to do this. That to me was just like, I don't think this is what I want. And I had seen the projects that they had done and I had worked on it. And I actually, for the little time that I was there, I learned a good chunk of stuff. But it got to a point where I realized like, if I continue and if I allow myself to continue on this, I guess, track and you know, the overworking, the miserable environment, you know, like the potential of there being a problem and that never being addressed the right way, you know, the lack of quality of life, like that to me just didn't seem worth it. And so what ended up happening was the firm that I actually wanted, mm-hmm. which is where I work now, they called me while I was having that internship. And so I was trying to balance between like, do I want this or do I want this? And this other firm, I don't even know. No. I don't know what they are. I don't know who they are. All I know is that they're the firm I wanted to work from the start, but I don't know anything about them.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm working off of ground zero. Whereas like, okay, but I could be making more money. I could be, you know, learning a lot of things at a faster pace. Like I could be, you know, this, but then I had to do a pros and cons list and see what was better for me. And so I took the risk of quitting that job. And the funny thing is that when I told my boss that I was like quitting, her response was like, I'm very happy for you.
Oh.
Like that's great. And I think you should take every opportunity to do that because you might not find what you're looking for. But, you know, from the first job or the second job, like it might take you a few times, but take every single opportunity that you have and try your best at it. So she was like, yeah, I fully support, you know. I was
like, that's great.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, that probably made it a lot easier.
A lot easier. Yeah. And so I realized that. Taking and for me, maybe it's not as like big and grand, but it was a big thing. It did cause a lot of anxiety because I had this vision and this like fantasy in my mind. I was like, oh my gosh, this is the firm.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you actually see it in person, you're like, oh wait, this is not worth it. Like, I think I wanted the idea of this
mm-hmm.
and what is actually real is what's better. And so, like, I actually took the other job, and I'm really glad for it. But that was, I would say, like, a big risk that I took that I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know if I was going to hate this other job.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to feel that instability.
Right.
I was just so scared of feeling, that feeling of instability. I was like, I just want stability. I just want stability. Mm-hmm. And I even thought, like, maybe I'm settling. Maybe I do need to, like, kill myself for this. Like, maybe I do need to feel like, you know, all or nothing. Maybe, you know, maybe this. And just today, I heard one of my coworkers say that, you know, our previous vice president, who I think he still is, but what he says is, like, you know, we're not heart surgeons. Like, we're not doing heart surgery. Like, you can go home. Mm-hmm. We're not doctors. You know, like, this isn't heart surgery. You're not trying to get stuff, you know, like, this is not a life or death situation. Like, you can go home and deal with it tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know? And now I look back, I'm like, I'm so glad with where I work. I'm so glad, because not only is there a balance, you know, work-life balance, but then I enjoy working with people that I work with. And it's a challenge because you're having to engage not only just what landscape architecture actually is, like, on the ground, but then you're also having to learn the environment, learn yeah. The people that you're working with, learn, like, the style of the company, learn the culture, learn the language. There's language in an office, like, you know, you use, and not to say that someone slapped your hand when you use the wrong language, but it's like there's words that people use that you're like, oh, I guess this is what landscape architect people say. Like, yeah. You know, like the funny thing is, like, people use CAD words all the time. Like, oh yeah, just fillet that. Or, like, just, you know, whatever, you know, like, I don't think, array it, you know, I don't know. Like, they use some word, I can't remember. But it's just, it's interesting because you're actually learning the environment. And Chelsea actually said that, where she was like, when you're interviewing for a job, you need to interview the firm itself. And what made her pick the RHAA, you know, what made her pick that firm was the people and yeah. the fact that they were a silly group of people and that they enjoy doing the small stuff and that their office environment was in the Redwoods. And, you know, like, all that stuff is really important. And, you know, and it ended up working out.
Yeah,
but
it's really valuable that you got that experience yeah. early too.
Yeah,
to see, like, I guess worst case scenario, right. what this profession could be, because then you're prepared. Like, okay, now I know exactly what I don't want, exactly. and I will not, you know, settle for anything less than this standard that I've set for myself.
Yeah,
which is similar to Casey too,
because you worked a big large firm.
Yeah, because you worked at a big firm and it was, like, terrible for you, mm-hmm. and then you're like, yeah, no, this isn't it. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's good that you guys. Even though I'm sure it was hard, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And especially for you, well, for both of you, because you quit too. So it must have been hard for both of you to be like, you know yeah. what? Yeah, I actually don't want this.
Yeah.
And to just be like, forget it. I don't care what comes after. Like, yeah. this for sure isn't it for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's good to know it's everything that you learn is good, whether it's like, I do like this or I don't like this. Those mm-hmm. are all valuable
yeah.
things.
I just didn't feel, yeah, absolutely. I agree. And I just didn't feel like it was worth killing yourself over something that, you know, you don't even have, like, a quality of life to me personally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there are some people who are just like, yeah, I will work that 60-hour work week. I'll work that 70-hour work week. I'll make the bank. Like, I'm going to make bank and I'll give it 100%. And they are at a level that I am not at, you know, yeah. like, and that's because they work a lot harder, you know.
Well, some people also just, like, thrive on stress too. Some yeah. people love pressure, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. and yes, that's fine.
True, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like, that's their lifestyle, right? Like, right. high pressure, like, fast working environment.
And you learn a lot in high pressure. Yeah. You do. Yeah, but for me, it just wasn't, like, it was just something that I just couldn't really, mm-hmm. I just couldn't really do. I was like, no, I don't think that's. It doesn't seem like, it also kind of seemed very futile. Like, it was like, but it's just someone's backyard. Like, yeah. why do you hate your life? You know, like, I don't understand. But mm-hmm. obviously I don't understand. Like, there is bigger pieces that's, you know, like, you were talking, like, $1 million, you know, pieces of art. And,
yeah.
you know, like, there's a lot of expectation, mm-hmm. especially for someone's house. So anyways, but I'm glad I took that risk and that I ended up taking another risk that I didn't know either. I didn't know what was, how it was going to pan out. And it's the same with the podcast. You know, I think we all know that. And, you know, if you're new to the podcast, then, or at least if you've listened for a while, maybe I should say, then you know the story. But if you're new, you know, I started this in the pandemic and it was just one of those things where it was like, if I don't do anything, I'm going to die of lack of inspiration because it was so hard being in my bedroom and not talking to anybody, not interacting or engaging with anyone. And it's a big risk because then people still to this day, I still feel like almost scared to tell people about the podcast because I'm like, what if they listen to it and they think it's stupid? What if they're like, why is this girl wasting her time? You know? And I have to fight that a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think that what we're doing is great work.
Yeah.
But it's always just that fear, the fear of, you know, another person telling you things that is just like, it doesn't matter. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. It's good to get critique and, you know, but at the same time, it's like, who cares what people think?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that was a big risk for sure. And I did not think that it was going to, you know, be how many episodes now do we have? I don't even know.
We're on season 3.
Yeah. We're on season 3 now. Which is K Razzie. That was a Parks and Rec reference. So, and now I have 3 people on my team.
And now we're a whole team.
Now we're a whole team.
Yeah, we're sisters now.
We have a website. Yeah. We actually have a website.
And we got merch.
Merch on the way.
We got stickers. Yeah, so who would ever thought that it would be where it, what it is now? And we're still... Yeah. We're still trucking on. We're still trying to get, you know, bigger and better. But it just, again, like in Chelsea's situation, it takes time.
And she was also very forgiving with herself.
Oh, forgiveness.
Yeah. No, but for real, she was like, you know.
She gave herself a lot of grace for sure.
Exactly. Because I don't want to say the word lenient because that feels close to like, it doesn't. I don't know, lenient, like just if you feels don't like push you're yourself. Not working
right
like exactly. Oh, it's okay, like I don't have to do it today.
She gave herself a lot of grace.
Yeah, she worked hard. Yeah, and she got to where she is, but exactly. She also didn't put that pressure on herself.
Yeah,
to be like, okay, I have to get here by this date and I need this to grow into this image. I don't know. So I think that's also like a big thing, being like, yeah, I want to make this happen, I have a goal and I'm working towards it. But if I don't meet it, which obviously you want to, but if you don't, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
You know what I mean? Work towards it, go through that journey, and like whatever comes out of it, comes out of it. You know, it doesn't have to be this high intensity project now. Mm-hmm. Like, well, now I want to be top chef.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tomorrow.
Yeah. Tomorrow. Yeah. I was watching a Tim Ferriss YouTube video. And I think he has, it's called The Tim Ferriss Show, and it's a podcast. And he has some good episodes on there, but he's always giving his advice and his input. And there was this one video I watched, and I believe it was how to build a business through a podcast or something. And I was like, oh, I'm curious. This piques my interest. I have a podcast of my own. And so I, like, clicked it. And, like, this guy, no one can be Tim Ferriss, I swear. Because he's the guy that wrote like 4-Hour Work Week.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It's like a big book in the New York Times or whatever. I don't know. But anyways, like he's very, very conversational and very good at asking questions. And, you know, his podcasts are, you know, is pretty good. And he has this one episode where he like talks about like reading all these books. And he's like, if you don't even want to read a book about business, you're not going to start your business. You're going to fail as a business or just something. Yeah. Something like pretty extreme, you know? And I was like, oh no. And I kept thinking to myself, like, I'm a failure. I'm not going to read the book. Oh no.
Nah, you don't have to read a book about business.
I know. And then I thought about that. I said the same thing to myself in that tone of voice. I'm going to read a book about business. I'm not a failure.
No.
You know, but but I think what he was trying to get at was like, if you want it enough, you'll work hard to learn how to do
which
that.
Which it doesn't have to be a book.
You know, and again, like I think maybe he was just trying to say that. I think that's what maybe what he was getting at. But I remember reading or watching that, and I was like, oh my gosh, if I don't do this, like the pressure again. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I'm like, no. If I love doing this and I get to do it at my own pace, then, and I still love doing it and we're still consistently doing it, then it's worth continuing to do.
Yeah.
And we'll get better at it as we continue practicing, like we talked about, like 10,000 hours thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's something about that theory that, like, if you continue working in persistence and perseverance and that thing, then you'll get better and, you know, opportunities will come. Like, and that's right. That's like the hope, right? Is opportunities will come and bigger and better things. But being okay with where you are right now and starting with what you have, I mm-hmm. think is really important.
Yeah.
You know, so we don't have millions of dollars in the bank, y'all. Like, it's like we working on a dime and a penny and we're making it happen, you know, because we want to. And I think that's the goal, is that we just want this to work and we're working with what we got. Mm-hmm. So I'm proud of us and I think we've made a big leaps. But yeah, that was definitely one risk. Mm-hmm. I took that, you know,
that's a big one.
Don't regret. Yeah. No regrets.
No regrets. I'm proud of all the risk that you guys have taken, you know?
Oh.
I was gonna say the idea of the internship is like, or even like quitting a job.
Yeah.
When you're an intern, you get like the benefit of like an easy out, you know, like an end point. But that's, you know, something you have to kind of get used to when you're in the field, is that you don't have an easy out.
Yeah.
And one of the best things to do, you know, if you didn't get the internship, which I never got to do either, I didn't get to do an internship because of COVID. And I thought that I had to graduate from like getting my master's and had to have a career already like set for me, like not that I was gonna graduate and jump from job to job, like that wasn't why I went to school, you know,
right?
Like you graduated so you can get a stable career, and I think that you kind of have to get used to the idea that you're gonna have to try a lot of things out, and part of that means not necessarily failing at them.
Mm.
But realizing that you don't have to stick with the same thing.
Right.
And accept that, you know, if it doesn't work out, you have to be able to, like, know when to draw the line and, like, move on to the next thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. It's just one of those things that they don't teach you, is, like, you want to make it work. Obviously, like, nobody ever wants to be a quitter. It's, like, a very bad thing to say I quit a job or, like, I left this thing. But that's also so natural to, like, that's how you evolve, you know?
Right.
You're not going to be, if you're stagnant where you are, you don't like where you are, there's no reason to stay there. Like, why would you sacrifice yourself just to be, you know, not a quitter? Just leave and go somewhere else and try to find what you do like and take what you learned from that and move forward. And that's going to have to happen, like, more often, I think.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are scared to quit. Which I'm not saying we should all quit our jobs, just because we're unhappy. Maybe we should, actually. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think again, like, you know, and not to undermine, you know, my friend's experience with her experience at this job, I think she was absolutely right in leaving 100%. Like, that is the 100% thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
When you're at a company or a firm and they don't take what you have to say and what you experienced at the cost of on their dime,
mm-hmm.
you know, like you shouldn't work for them if they don't treat you with respect and believe you in that sense. And, you know, but I think that for me, it was like, okay, well, if I don't experience and I don't know what this firm is and all this stuff, if I don't really like see what it's all about for myself, am I always going to think to myself, was this a missed opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to try. And I think that's a good way for anyone to kind of see if this is the right thing when we've said it multiple times, just intern, you know, and just figure it out if that's something for you, because you have to see it that way. Like, I originally was like, well, if I intern somewhere, I got to stay there. You know, like, that's just that. Like, I'm not going to do this whole instability thing and, like, go. But it's like, no, it's okay to quit. It's okay to say no. Mm-hmm. And you have to find whatever that is in order for you to make that decision. But be open to that decision. Don't close your mind off to it, especially if you don't know what it is, and take every consideration, all of the positive and all of the negative, because no place is perfect. You have to take in all of that information and make your own decision, and see if that's the right one for you. And if it is the right one for you, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. And if it's not, that's okay too. But it just, you have to come up with all of the, as much information as you can, and ask good questions and ask people who worked there before, and see what there is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I had asked my friend, I was like, what do you think? Like, do you think I should give it a go? And she even was like, yeah, I think you should try it out. You know, that was my experience. And obviously, and that was years ago. And she was saying that was years ago. And who knows, things might have changed now.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like, try it out. See if it's for you. And I was like, okay, input taken, you know.
You have to test the waters yourself.
You have to test it. Yeah.
It's like when your parents like give you advice on like how to do things. You know, in the end, anyone can give you advice. But like, you know, as much as you want to be able to take it from them and like learn.
Right.
The really the best way to do it is just to do it yourself in a way.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing with a job. Like, you don't really know if you're going to like a place unless you try it. You know?
Exactly.
Which, you know, talking to people, getting the best knowledge to prepare yourself for that is important. But you really just need to like test out the waters for yourself.
Yeah.
So like you said, like, internships are really great. I don't think you should be afraid to take internships outside of college, like after you graduate.
Yes. Yeah.
To continue if that comes up, like to take them. But if that's not an option, like having a job doesn't mean that you're like chained to that place forever.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You can always move on to some other place.
I think it's good to juice the experience as much as you can, like wherever you are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And really, because the way I see it, the whole point of getting a job is, well, there's a major point.
Salary.
Right. Aside from that, it's really just to gain as much experience as you can from a place and learn like how the business works.
Yeah.
How my mom always says that. She's like, just do a job, understand the business model, and then leave. And then you start the business. And I'm like, okay, got it. She was like, you never start a job thinking I'm going to be an employee forever.
I'm like, I love
okay,
that.
Yeah. No, but it's true. Yeah. She's like, just juice everything up. Like, how does this work? How does that work? Like, back end, front end, like all of it. And just like get as much as you can mm-hmm. from it. And whenever you're like, okay, yeah, I've wrung this dry. Like, let me move on, you know? And even like, it doesn't even have to be like practical experience. It could be like what you guys went through. It's like, oh, okay. Now I know as a person how I want to feel in my work environment. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it could be things like that. It doesn't even have to be like, now I know how to do X document and talk to X person.
Yeah. A lot of that stuff is like very like stuff that we keep using this word, it's like the byproduct too. Like mm-hmm. you end up taking up a bunch of stuff you didn't actually know that you were going to learn.
Yeah.
And like, again, like I didn't know I was going to have to, like, I didn't know that was important, was the environment, you know, and like who I work with.
Yeah.
You know, like for some reason I didn't think about that, but that's like a key, mm-hmm. you know,
you're going to see those people every day for hours.
Yeah. That is like more than your family, you know? So that's like really key. And for some reason I didn't think about it that much,
mm-hmm.
but obviously you don't know what you don't know, and you have to try and see if that, you know, those people are who they say they are.
Yeah.
And you know, at the same time, you have to remember is that, you know, person that's trying to hire you on to their company is selling it,
mm-hmm.
you know? So there's always going to be a pro, and there's always going to be con, and it's not ever going to be a fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, like, and like all of you guys, right? Like what you guys are doing is just, you've found your skill and you're honing it. You know, and you're, like you said, you're juicing it. And I think for me, I'm trying to find that. I'm trying to find what that is within, you know, this entry level position and within this industry. I'm trying to find what that skill is and see how I can hone that. And when it comes to things I don't know or I'm not really good at or I don't understand, you know, my other brother was kind of telling me that it's important to use whatever skill that you have right now and use that to apply to things that might mm-hmm. you might not know too much about. So you might be really good at graphics, but you have to do something on the technical side. Well, how would you do a technical job and how would you think about it in a graphic way?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how could I read this? How is this easy to read? Or how is this going to be constructed? Or, you know, things like that. So, yeah, I'm in the process right now, you know.
That's good.
Yeah, and again, like, as everyone knows, like, I'm impatient. I'm, like, not at the level I want to be, but it's also like, but just chill.
You gotta, like, give yourself time.
Give yourself time. Give yourself time.
We're so new to the industry.
I know.
I feel like if you move even to, like, a new firm, like, say you're, like, 10 years in, you're going to feel the same idea of, like, you just want to fit in already, you know, to the place. But you just can't speed any of that of that up, sadly.
Yeah.
You got to take each day as it comes.
Yep.
Shocker. Can't speed up time. No, but it is. I feel the same way sometimes about, like, just wanting to be good at something already.
Yes. Yeah.
It's frustrating.
It's frustrating. Yeah. 10,000 hours. And to, you know, master something's a lot of time.
It's 9 years.
9 years.
9 years right there.
Life of a cat.
That's third grade. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is good stuff, guys.
Yeah.
I really like this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Well, guys, we're really excited to see you next month. At
San Francisco. San Francisco. Right, the ASLE conference. The reason we're
not just going for fun, guys.
Right.
The National ASLE conference. We're really excited to see you. Please give us a shout on Instagram and let us know if you're going. It'd be awesome to connect and you know, hang out and get to know all the students and or young professionals, whatever, and talk and get to know you guys.
Yeah.
So let us know and keep hugging trees.
Stay on the green side.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.